Okay, we're continuing in the Bilvavir on page Resh Nun Gimel, in the middle of chapter 24. We're discussing how to look at suffering as a way of a manifestation of God's love for you. And we gave an example of the crying baby yesterday, that if a baby is crying, and there's a rule, a hard, fast rule, that if there is suffering, it is accompanied by sin. It is precedented by sin, and therefore there must be some kind of chait, must be some kind of deficiency that exists for the suffering to correct that. And if you're looking at a baby, what does a baby do? So you have to say that it was from a previous Gilgal, a previous life existence, and there is, by definition, when this baby came into the world, it's coming in with a deficiency from a previous life existence, and this suffering, you have a choice. Either the kid shouldn't suffer and continues to live with this mark of sin, or you have the suffering that corrects it, and then he gets closer to Hashem. And if the suffering brings the baby potentially closer to Hashem, it has to be something that is good. And therefore, that is a good thing that's happening to the child. So that was briefly what we talked about yesterday. So he continues down Resh Nun Gimel. Zoi dugma achas mine rabos. This is one example of many. This world is full with revealed kindnesses. It's also filled with suffering. There's people who have tzar in their parnasa. Some have suffering in raising their children. And there's others who suffer in the realm of shalom bayis. There's many different types of suffering in this world. But the common denominator, hapnimi, the inner common denominator of all of them, shall call yusurim ha'eluhu. What is the common denominator of every kind of suffering in this world? Gotta remember the golden rule. Memorize it. Ein yusurim below chet. There's no such thing as suffering without sin that's there in advance. Therefore, memela kol yasur v'yasur shekadosh baruch hu miyaser b'asa adam. Consequently, every type of pain that Hashem inflicts on a person, hakol noyed lematara achas pshuta, it all is destined for one simple goal, lekarei v'asa adam leboirei v'emes, to truly bring a person closer to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If the suffering is coming because there's a deficiency in the person, that's all there is to it. So if there's a deficiency, the suffering can remove the deficiency. It doesn't remove all the deficiencies. You know, it's going to take a lot of suffering to remove all the barriers. Remember, the degree that we don't feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that degree, the suffering has to come to get us closer to Him. But again, what's critical in all this is the attitude of the person. You've got to want to get closer to Hashem for this to have any effect. And if you don't, then you don't get any closer to Hashem, and then it doesn't work. And the suffering can be a waste sometimes. Again, using the analogy of yesterday, where the parent is taking the child to the doctor to get inoculated. Or, you know, or let's say even better, when you have to give your child some medicine, the infant medicine, and it's nice banana-flavored medicine, and the child does not want it. It's all there is to it. And he has a strep throat, and he has to take it, and that's all there is to it. So you cajole him, you say, it tastes so good, and you drink some of it too, or, you know, mock drink it, and it's really good and tasted, and it's this and that, and he ain't drinking it. Right? So then what does it eventually boil down to? The old pin 'em down routine. Right? There's different methods of this happening. You know, one way, especially if you're alone, really you need two parents to do it. But if it's only one, then you have to take your two knees and pin them against his shoulders against the floor, take your other hand and hold the mouth wide open and just shove it down the throat. And that's all there is to it. He's screaming like crazy. But that's the only way. And then you can still get a kid who spits it right back in your face. So now, after all the screaming, he isn't even going to get any better. because he spit it out in your face. So you pinned him down. He's screaming. Right? Right? And then he spits it right back in your face. Now we got to do it all over again. Right? So that at least if the kid, you know, takes it. Right? It's exactly, we are the same little children. Mamish. We're even more immature than our little babies are. And when Hashem sends you to suffering, you don't want to take it at all. It's okay. It'll be a major problem. But at least if you want to take it, and you want to learn the lessons that are there to be learned, that you don't run the world, and you're not God, and other things like that, then it will bring you closer to Hashem. And then it is only good. But who would ever say that the parent pinning down the kid is an evil parent? No, he has a very immature child. That's all it is. We don't judge suffering by the immaturity of the one who's suffering, but by the intention of the one who's bringing the suffering. And that's where the big mistake lies. You just look at the crying and the pain and the tears, and you say, that's how we judge events. If we're just all, if everybody's happy, then everything's fine. And if people are unhappy, then things must be bad. And that's such an immature way of looking at life, and adults don't seem to grow up from this idea. And their whole common denominator, their whole value is, do I like it or not? That's not the way it works out. Is it helpful or not? That's the way you look at all these things. And people can't get around it. They just can't get around it. If God really loved me, he'd get me to be better without hurting me. To which God says, if you had any brains, I wouldn't have to hurt you. You know? But you don't have any brains, so what can I do? If you grow up, I wouldn't have to do this. So then we go back to the old-fashioned ways of defining things, which are just not correct. Yes, Sam? Me.
I understand from adults that the suffering is because of previous sins. I can understand that. And they have to relate to it, and in order for it to be beneficial, they have to understand why it happened and how it happened. How can they make that connection to something that happened in previous lives? And they don't even have knowledge of it.
How or a why question?
Both. What's the mechanism? Why? How would they know why?
It's the same. It's this. You don't have to know why.
Otherwise, there's no benefit.
No, you don't need to know why. You need to know that you have to. The Gemara says, if suffering comes to a person, check out your actions. You're born with innate flaws.
That's in the life you're living now.
No, but it's coming. It's coming from the previous lifetime. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. You just say, you know what? It's just like you get inoculated. It's an inoculation and finished. Something's being corrected. Something within me that's distancing me. And if the person would be more attuned to himself, he'll realize. Person has flaws. Those flaws are coming because of what you're bringing from the previous lifetime.
And it's, get attuned to that.
Be attuned to who you are. Nobody knows their faults.
This is in current life.
It doesn't matter, but it's bringing it with you. It brings with you a certain distancing, and right now it manifests itself. You're born with a certain predisposition for things. That's why God made you. Why did he make you that way? Because it's coming from before.
So as an adult, I can rationalize or understand that this is why it's happening. Beautiful. Now a child suffers.
Doesn't have to know the reason.
How is he going to have this connection to Hashem?
You need a parent who explains it to the kid.
To a little kid that's suffering?
Yeah. You can explain. You know, children understand things much easier. They're not so clever as adults. That's where they can understand things a lot easier. So the infant doesn't need any explanation. He doesn't start questioning God.
So why is he suffering? He's not going to resolve it.
God, the suffering itself resolves it in ways that we don't know. In ways that we don't know. We don't need to know. We don't need to know. In ways that we don't know. That's what's happening. There's certain the neshama of the child is hearing the message and is getting the message. You know, we don't need to tie in every single dot over here. But that's clear. But the message that we have to learn from a child is that this is a suffering that's for the kid's good. And that's the exercise is we have to go through the exercise. The goal here is for us to live in this reality and to feel it. But you know what? I don't care about the child now. The child is going to remember this and it's not going to scar him. Just like my giving him the medicine isn't going to scar him either. It's not. And millions of children have gone through measles and mumps and strep throat and all childhood diseases, and that has not negatively affected them. You know what? And for anything, it probably made them better with these tikkunim. Can you imagine how bad the kids would be without these sufferings before? Right? So don't have to worry about the kids. They get over it. They don't even remember it. Okay? So don't have to worry about it. But you have a valuable lesson to learn from what's going on with them. And that's what he's saying throughout the day. You see a baby cry, you go over yourself and you say, Hashem, why is this? You have to say these words, just like we've been doing the whole time. Hashem, why is this baby suffering? If you are a loving God, why are you causing this baby to suffer? Must be there's something in a Gilgal that was wrong and you're having him suffer as he gets close to you. And I believe that that's what's happening. And you just say it and go through it thousands of times in your life, and then it'll become part of your reality. And that's what we have to accomplish from that. That's what he's saying. You don't need, he's already said it. I can't keep repeating what he said so many times. And why and how, I don't need to know. I'll never know. And I just need to accept that that's what it's, but I gotta speak it out so that I can come to live in that reality. If you read it once in a Jewish philosophy book and store it away, and you live your life without incorporating that, then it doesn't make a difference into your life. We're trying to go through the exercises now.
All the hundreds and thousands of Jews that are suffering today and they're not aware, they're not even learning an iota of what we're learning. These are lost souls.
No, it's doing something for the soul. It could even be
whose soul? They don't know what's going on.
But their soul knows what's going on. Let's say again. Remember, We need Chazar. What did we learn last night? Who was in the Thursday night? Shelley was here last night, right? For the Rambam, right? There are people who come back as pieces of wheat. You understand? You come back as a piece of wheat, and you hope somebody makes a bracha on your kugel. You know?
Okay.
You know, why does Hashem put somebody back as a piece of wheat for 100 years? For what purpose? To finish the punishment to the neshama. Sometimes it's just to punish. And we're not asking the person to get any better because he's a piece of wheat. Man, you are a neshama. Gehenim isn't enough to cure you. You're such a Russia. Right? Gehenim isn't enough. So I gotta put your neshama into a piece of wheat? Or I'll put you into a cow? Right? And now a neshama lives in a cow. You imagine what kind of suffering that's going on for the punishment. Sometimes just straight punishment till it can get fixed up, till the neshama gets fixed up. Now, do you know does the piece of wheat knows what's going on? Does the cow know what's going on? Hashem says, you know what, you're so bad, man. To get this out of you, I gotta punish you ways that are unbelievable. You got yourself in such a jam. So now you're gonna be a dog for 20 years. You're gonna be a cow for 20 years. And then finally we're gonna bring you for our korban and shecht you. Okay? And that neshama goes through incredible punishments, and that'll eventually fix it up. Right? So you don't think Hashem can't put a neshama back into a secular Jew that suffers all its life? And the neshama suffering, what am I doing in a secular Jew's body when I could be doing mitzvahs if I was in a frum person's body? And that's the tikkun for the neshama. Finished.
I remember a while back we said that the neshama that the Jewish people have is not the same as anybody else's. It's not like the animals or anybody else.
That's right.
A different neshama.
That's right. So you're putting a Jewish neshama into an animal.
So then it could be the same.
No, it's not an animal neshama. It's a Jewish neshama that's temporarily in an animal, but it's not the animal's life force. It's in a straitjacket. You put a neshama in a straitjacket into a cow that already has a cow's neshama, and the cow's like a cow, but there's a Jewish neshama in there.
What happened to the cow's neshama originally?
Who cares about it? It's not important. It's just a life force. You know, they bring down from stories, you know, if you ever have a dog or a cat that comes from nowhere and all of a sudden he starts following you. Starts following you. There's a lot of stories like this. A lot of stories like this. You have a cat. We had in the yeshiva once. This cat was following the Rosh Shiva wherever he went. He's following the Bachram. He was there. We don't know where he came from, and he was there for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. He was walking to the base medrash. The mouse would walk from the dorm to the base medrash. And when it was time for davening, he would keep walking. You know. So, you know, so obviously it's such a situation, it's a gilgul of somebody. You know, it was probably somebody who was very anti-Torah and had insulted the Rosh Hashivas, and now his tikkun was after he died, Hashem said, listen, what kind of bum you were. These Rosh Hashivas are trying to build Torah in Cleveland, and you did everything you could to stop them. So now you know, you're gonna go to yeshiva as a cat. Okay? And you're gonna go as a cat, and that'll be your tikkun, and you're gonna have to walk for davening. You know, that's your tikkun. And a lot of times it's because people insulted people and they never asked for mechila. You know, if you find an animal that's following you along for a long time, you know, we had once in an old house long ago, this cat was trying to get into our house. Stray cat. Every time I open the door, he started jumping into the house. It's crazy things. So one of the things you're supposed to do is, right, in case this happens to you, you go over to the animal and say, I moichel you 100% for what you did to me. That's you have to do. And more often than not, it'll vanish. There's lots of stories. And you think it's crazy. But there's lots of stories like this. You know, I know of a story where the person was told to do this. He went to the dog. I think the dog was a dog cat. Who knows? I think it was a dog. Goes to the dog, says, I moichel you 100% for what you did. And then the dog ran, made a howl and ran into the street, and a car ran it over. Finished. And that, what?
Remember the rat story?
The rat and that. It's all, that's a lot of these stories. I could go on all night with the day with all these stories. It's a tikkun. How it works, let Hashem worry about these things. So Hashem can put a good, nice Jewish neshama into a secular Jew is no different than putting it into a dog in this area. A dog can't do mitzvahs. A secular Jew can't do mitzvahs. So let it suffer for 80 years and seeing all the lost opportunities when the neshama knows what the neshama should be doing and lives, having to live in this body for 80 years, that's a real punishment. And live with a secular Jew who when it's time to daven, isn't davening, when it's time for this and that, and the neshama is going through terrible, and the secular Jew lives like a goy. And there's no intention of it ever being better. And that's all. And finished. And then when that secular Jew dies, that neshama is able to now have some place in Gan Eden, because it had its suffering. Finished. End of the story. And that's what Hashem is doing. So, when are we going to start figuring things out? You can't figure anything out. You know Hashem knows what he's doing? So you trust him. The kid did something in a previous Gilgal, so he's crying. That's all. Let's move on with it. But understand, every time you see it, that Hashem is constantly working on helping us get closer to him. Yeah.
Then
that wasn't the neshama of the wrong guy, okay? Or it could have been, and now it was time to be secular for Ireland and then to do tshuva. Hashem knows which neshama to put in which body. He knows who's eventually going to do tshuva. He knows who's not going to eventually tshuva. He knows all these things. You see, he knows where to put who. It's not us to, it's not our business to even make any chesh. You see a secular Jew, it's not our job to decide, oh, he has a different neshama. We don't know. We try to do whatever we can for everybody. And that's all. Leave it to Hashem to worry. It's too complicated to figure out.
Exactly. So I guess my point is the line where the rabbi is saying, leave it to Hashem, we won't be able to figure it out. For the rabbi, and what we're learning here is much higher than, let's say, myself. I'm saying, you know what, the suffering, God has given us the suffering, just leave it to him to figure out, and let's not try and...
But you have to do
understand
one...
Understand it like this, because we really don't...
We're not asking you to understand it like this, but you have to take it one more step. And Hashem is... Hashem knows what he's doing, and this is bringing me closer to him. It's bringing the baby closer to Hashem. You have to add that point. Because otherwise, you're saying, okay, I guess he gets... moody, he lashes out. I hope I can duck the lashing out from him. No. That lashing out is good. That's what you have to say, even if you don't understand why it's good. If there is suffering, that's because there's a previous flaw, and this suffering is meant to correct the flaw. Now you got to look at it and go over that idea and say it thousands of times as you see it happening to other people, and soon we're going to get to when it comes to you, very soon. You have to get used to saying it. And the more you say it, the more you will accept it. Right? Can you do that too? Can you say, I don't understand why, but if Hashem is giving us suffering, it's because there's some kind of a flaw, and this is correcting the flaw in some way, and you have to say that too. Can you say that? Even though I don't understand how it works.
I can say that, but I mean, to say it to when there's a being born with Down syndrome
or something. Well, Hashem knows why he's doing it.
Done
but then Gilgal, but you don't, but you, what's so hard for you to accept Gilgal? I don't understand what's so hard to accept it. Why are people having trouble accepting? Person finishes his world, didn't finish his job, did a lot of bad things. Gehenna isn't, you understand Gehenna? Gehenna, you understand? So Hashem sends it to Gehenna, and now he's cleaned up. What if they go to Gehenna, and Gehenna is not enough?
And his parents have to suffer?
And the parents have to suffer? It's not, you know, and they're doing chesed. You know what, Shelley, this world has so little chesed in it. Hashem needs to find some people to do chesed because we wouldn't volunteer for it. You know, a parent who has such a child can become an amazing person through the process. And many of them are. And many parents is a Gilgal too. And they could have a lot, their past lifetime, they had no compassion on anybody. And they got to fix it up. You got to look at ourselves. What you see is not what you get. What you see is absolutely not at all what you get. Because there's so much there that you don't see. And Shelley Glowinski, we don't know. It could be four different lifetimes are coming into this lifetime of Shelley Glowinski. And as it's getting closer to Mashiach, you know, God says, I don't know if I want to have Shelley come back again. Let's get it all straightened out with him in this lifetime. Let him suffer everyone in Rabbi Michalitz's classes. And he's momish. His brain is, he gets headaches every day. And he's traumatized by the information. And it's, you know, and it's, you're suffering and one day you'll see he'll have a black hat in Meir Sharim, and that'll be the final tikkun, and that will have fixed up thousands of years of souls that didn't do things that they should have done. Right? You know, but to look at myself as the sum total of everything's going on, it can't be. It just can't be. And you gotta keep living in that reality. You have to keep looking at things and keep saying these things till we feel it. No, even if it's because of a Gilgal, you still have to improve. Because the Gilgal carried a bad midah. That bad midah comes into you. And you have it. You may not realize it, but you have it. Okay, now. Ukavi shebiyarnu. And as we explained, second paragraph on Reish and Gimel. Hakara zuba tova shek b'chol ma'asei abari mischalekas l'sheikh halakim. What have we explained? The recognition that this goodness that's in everything that Hashem does is divided into two parts. There's certain things in this world, we look at it, and we see clearly these are good things from Hashem. Could be something, maybe not at the very moment it happens, but in the overall, broader view, he sees the goodness that's in them. And from what is revealed in other areas where goodness came out, he understands that that which is not clear now will eventually become good. Right. And the person goes deeper. Here's the point. And he frees himself from the superficial way of looking at things. You have to free yourself. The superficial way of life is a prison that we're in. It imprisons us to not see things correctly. We've got to get out of that way. Loving and to understand, to see the good that's buried in everything. He sees the good. If he realizes and internalizes the idea, there's no such thing as suffering without sin. Either it's a chet in this lifetime, or sin in a previous lifetime. Nimsa comes out, she call Yasur v'Yasur Shetokef Es Adam Ubetzem Atov Gemur. It will come out, every suffering that a person encounters in life is essentially a total goodness. And the person does not need or expect to know for what reason it comes. Right? Now this only is going to happen, so we're going from the mind to the heart. So the mind understands the concepts. You learn your Derech Hashem, you know the concepts. He gave you the concepts. Now you're going to put it into the heart. You got to see suffering and address the suffering. That's where it becomes real. So you look at a baby crying, and you just don't walk by. You say, that baby is crying. You stop for a moment. He's suffering. There's no such thing as suffering without sin. He must have done something in a previous Gilgal, and Hashem is giving an absolute kindness to him to bring this baby close in ways that the baby himself doesn't even realize. And when he gets older, he will have benefited from this inoculation, and this is what I believe in 100%. And it's 100% hatava. That's how you have to do it. Now, if you will do this tens of thousands of times, you will feel it. And that's like everything else in the book. Everything else in the book. You believe Hashem is next to you, you got to say it 10,000 times, if not more. All these things, you have to keep saying it over. But wait, the best is yet to come. Hisbainus bisur acherim ubisur atzmo. Reflecting on other people's suffering and on your own suffering. Be'etzem, essentially, nekudazushal hisbainus ba'atovash bisur mischalekas v'ofen klolish nechalokim. This point of reflection on the goodness that comes through suffering can be divided into two general categories. Yeshnam yisurim sharam roya oisam v'yachas l'chavero. They're those he sees his friend going through. Yeshnam yisurim sharam roya oisam v'yachas aso. They're those he sees himself going through. The example we gave of the person going in the street and seeing the baby crying. Those are sufferings that are happening to other people. Yisurim shem chitzonin lo. Sufferings that are external to you as the third party watching them. And therefore the reflection during the action is easier. Why? Because you're not suffering. You're watching someone else suffer. It's easier to watch someone else suffer and wax philosophically like this. And if you're not on a high enough... Here's your problem, Shelley. This is your real problem here. You have too much Avos Yisrael. That's the problem. He says, if you don't have too much Avos Yisrael, you don't feel so bad for the other person. In other words, you know, I don't hate other Jews. I like them a little bit, but love them, I don't love them that much. So when he suffers, it doesn't bother you that much. So then you can intellectually do this. You understand? If you really love everybody like you love yourself, whoa, that's going to be like, you know, dealing with your own suffering, which is harder. Okay. But in general, it's not that hard to look at others. Oh, I guess he didn't have Avera. And I guess Hashem is showing a kindness to him. Yeah, when you're not suffering, it's easier to say by somebody else, right? So maybe Nim saying it comes out. Shafilim Huroas Yisurim Bepol. He can watch the actual suffering. The mamash, the suffering's in front of his eyes. Next page. Aval Hashpa Sam Alav Ein Rabba Miuchad. But the effect, the emotional trauma, is not that unique. So he has the tranquility to reflect. What in other words, he's saying is, it's hard to reflect accurately when you're going through trauma. Again, all these wonderful things, it's not suggested to start this program when you are going through great trauma, because you're going through too much emotional upheaval to look at it honestly. So how do you do it? When you're a dispassionate third party. Now, of course, only such a tzaddik could write this clause, because... Of course, he's assuming it should bother people. It hurts somebody else, it should bother you a lot. Right? But he's saying, you know, but it's not going to bother you that much. And therefore, you can look at another person's suffering, and yet you could be dispassionately, intellectually sound in looking at this. And you can say the words without, you know, getting choked up and without going falling to pieces. So then you still have, remember, hisponus needs inner tranquility. So how can you be looking at suffering and have inner tranquility? The answer is that somebody else is suffering. It doesn't bother me that much. You know, when you see somebody else's kid falling down and crying, you know, it's not the same when you see your own kid falling down and crying. It's just not the same. And therefore, you could look at it without getting, you know, you feel bad, but not that bad. And therefore, you could look at it very, you know, calmly. Right? You know, like a paramedic. Paramedics are trained to be calm no matter what they're seeing. And if they can't be calm, you're not going to be a paramedic, right? So the same idea. So it's very good. You're watching real suffering. And you're able to say, person is suffering. Why is he suffering? There's a rule. There's no suffering without sin. Must be he sinned. And why? And if he sinned, that was made him distant from Hashem. And now the suffering can bring him closer to Hashem. Oh yeah, Hashem, you're so kind. You bring him closer to you. And that's what you're supposed to be working on. Okay. Even right next to you, there's a person right here who's suffering. If they're not like totally awesome sufferings, right, like horrific sufferings, you know, somebody who both is a quadriplegic, he just got an accident and he's missing his hands and feet. That would be a little too much for even us to handle. That might bother you. If you saw something like that. Sure, because MS Yachal is Azale love, because that could really, you know, get your heart, all excited. Oh, Yisurim, sure, that was simple, simple Yisurim. My teenage boy, a child crying, nobody, you know, you don't get too devastated by watching another kid cry. I mean, you see it all the time, so it's not that bad. It's not terminal, it's not the worst thing in the world. So, Adam Shebeid, Asar Shkom, a guy lost 10 shekels. Guy lost $10. Because I can't believe it. The wind blew my $10 out and I lost it. It's not so terrible, you know. Dvar ma'ot pshutim. Simple thing. Shebeder chlal. Halev lo kol kach koivasam. The heart doesn't get too pained by it. Ha'isbonis b'mkal. It's easy to reflect on those types of things. V'az yesh li'isbonin. So then you have to reflect. Shemichat kitzoni oso hadoven ira. From your limited superficial perspective, it looks like a bad thing. But on the inside, it's clearly a total kindness. Oh, it's going to be a good thing that's going to come out later. Or it's a kind of goodness that comes from suffering, that cleanses you from the sin and causes you to become closer to Hashem. Good. This all relates to other people's suffering. But there's another type of reflection is when the suffering comes to you. So obviously, you know, there's going to be stages here, right? So how do we start? We start, first of all, by talking about the idea in general. And now we'll focus on other people for a long time, because that's not going to get us too upset. And we can keep seeing people suffering, little sufferings, that we can keep going through and say, you know, it looks like it's a bad thing, but I know it's got to be a good thing. It's got to be because either something good's going to eventually happen to the guy, or it's a Gilgal, or this, or that, or a sin, and Hashem is doing the best thing. But then you got to come to the point where you have to start doing it to yourself. And that becomes a little trickier. And now he brings a fascinating, fascinating way of understanding this Gemara that you've heard of, but have not internalized the way he does. So now, Nikudazu Benuya Mina Kal Alakovit. So this point gets built up from easier to hard. Yeshnam, within yourself. Yeshnam Yisurim Shem Kalim. There are certain Yisurim that are light. Kamala Dugma, Mashmatsin Gomorrah, like for example, like the Gomorrah explains. The Ad Heichan Tachlis Yisurim. Gomorrah asks the question, how far reaching does Yisurim go? In other words, what do we call Yisurim? What is called Yisurim? Broken arm, broken leg, someone punishing you. What? So it goes so far, Rava, the same Rav Chizda, Rava, and some says Rav Chizda, the same Rav Yitzchak, some says Rav Yitzchak. For Amil ben Sisan, some say it was a Braisa. I'm not sure who said it, but it could be they all said it. Afilu ha'ishe yadol akis, litol shalosh v'alol b'yadol shtayim. Even you reach in your pocket to get 3 coins, and only 2 comes out. And now you got to come back in another time to get the 3rd one. That is called Yisurim. That's called suffering. Kloimer, meaning to say, you want to take 3 coins out of your pocket and 2 come out, that's Yisurim. Go to the convenience store and they tell you it's $1.87. So you want to pull out a toonie or 2 loonies. So what happens? You pull out a loonie. Okay. You pull out a quarter. You pull out another quarter. Okay, then you pull out another quarter, and then another quarter. Okay, the whole thing maybe took about 10 seconds. Okay, you put it out. So, we go through that, we don't even think about it. But this is called suffering. Now what does that mean? What does that mean? Right? So we think, okay, I guess that's also suffering. Elohim Yisurim Kalim. These are obviously light Yisurim. Aval yeshem yisurim shem yoser kashim bottom. And they're much harder yisurim. Kyon yisur aguf, machlus rachman aslan, yisur nefesh, sufferings of the body, sicknesses, emotional suffering. But niskadei me'akalakav, let's start from the small, and then we'll come to the stronger ones. Nisplaini nabadivir gemara. Let's reflect on this gemara. Sha'adam sha'itzi mos minakiz pachas masha'rotza re'elishim, that he gets not the amount of money he wanted out of his pocket, that's called yisurim. What is gemara really meaning to say with this? Gemara zaksuva nekuda muka shetzarech levinasa. There's a very deep idea that we got to reflect on. Natalat zmeinu. Let's make a picture of ourselves. Adam alei v'makolas lufnei hakupa. The guy's in the convenience store. He's by the cash register. Hakamveni osalachesham yatzar shalav l'sham sach shal meyav eshim shkolm. The guy says, okay, that'll be 120 shekels. Humachaser lekiso. He puts his hand in his pocket. Umotzi misham shtar shal chamish shkolm. He takes a 50 shekel note. Case of Lachlan's problem, the subject's got to go another time. And so the keys also stir something. They got to bring extra. Another time, another time. And the Adam Gazette, a person like this, he doesn't live searching for Hashem and everything in his life. If you're not in this program, right? What was the last time you did when you went to the cash register and fumbled the change out? Right? So, you don't even think it's Yisrael. Do you think you're suffering? You're saying, oh God, why'd you do this to me? I can't understand why you're doing this to me, Hashem. I had to go a second time into my pocket. Do you even think it's Yisurim? No. Don't even think it's Yisurim. Don't think twice about it. And that's the biggest mistake you're making. And that's the biggest exercise in life that Hashem is giving you that you're not going through. It's new ativis in a natural movement. Who machnis shuvas the other case? Just go back. It's automatic. It's like you're not even thinking. You know you need a dollar. You got 50 cents. You go back again. You're not even thinking. Oi. I never have to go in again. Big deal. Just do it again. Motz is a star in nidshu mishilah. You instinctively go back and give him what he's supposed to get. In tishlos, okay. So somebody stops you. Excuse me. I was just behind. Just was noticing something. A rabbi with a long beard. His name is Schwartz. Slicha. You know, did you just go through some suffering? You have a luck between them. You look at them like crazy. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Nimsa comes out. This person. This is what you got to be thinking now. We're not thinking. Hashem sent him direct this type of yisurim. And with this, now here's the point. Nasan lo efsharis liskarvel yisparach. He gave a person a chance to get closer to Hashem in a way that ain't going to hurt you so much. What are you supposed to be doing? If the Gemara says this is Yisurim, so what are you supposed to be doing? Supposed to go in 50 cents? Hashem, this is really not, this is Yisurim. You know, if I was on a better level, Hashem would have had me get the dollar right away. And obviously there's something with me that needs to get fixed up with this. And this is a kindness of Hashem that I'm getting fixed up, and it's not even so painful. And you have to be looking at the fact that I didn't get the right change. It's a kindness from Hashem, and that's an exercise. That's a painless exercise. You think Hashem's waiting to take away your child? That's what you have to go through to accept that he's giving you service with love? No. He gives you dozens, daily, every day, harmless, not hurtful, just nudgy kind of things that are for you to go through the exercise without having to have this friction of your emotional pain versus the reality of understanding it. And that's what the Gemara means to be saying. This too is called Yisurim. Even though it doesn't bother you, but you know what? Because you get used to this bothering. And you shouldn't get used to it. And you should realize it's also a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You gotta go in again, Hashem's talking to you. Hashem's saying, you know what? If you were better, I wouldn't have to do this. But I'm giving you, it's a very little bit. And you may go through this 30 times a day. If we add them up cumulatively, it's already something. But you're able to take it. And Hashem is saying, I know the Lashon Hara you were speaking yesterday. And I should give you one gesunt one. But you know what? You're gonna go through 30,000 of these over the next 10 years. And that'll be what'll clean it out. So you have to turn around, and when you say, I'm sorry, it's not enough change. Thank you so much. You love me. You gave me such a suffering that doesn't even hurt. But it's a little bit of a nudge, and I can live with such a nudge. And you're so kind, and you're so sweet, that you're giving to me in a way that I can take it. And now get used to doing this 50 times a day. And when it doesn't hurt. And you can do this. This you can do. See, that's what Gor means to say. That's what Gor means to say. Hashem gave you a chance to get closer to him. If you'd look properly with the Torah eye, you'd merit to get closer to Hashem. We keep saying, Hashem never does enough good things to me. What are you talking about? 50 times a day, you're reaching for change and it isn't coming out. He's being so kind. He's cleaning you out without it really hurting. See how kind he is to you instead of you having to trip and fall and break your leg. But you gotta realize there's all a cheshbon. Everything's a cheshbon. Right? You can marry to get close to Hashem with something that seems so simple. If you don't reflect on it, a Jew just skips over it, doesn't realize what happened. And you're losing out the wonderful gift that Hashem gave to you. Just like when we pass by a beautiful tree and don't notice that Hashem is showing us kindness but giving us a beautiful scenery to look at. So when you have to reach in for another quarter, Hashem is giving you the biggest favor in the world, that he's cleaning you up without it hurting so much. That's why, it will just close, the message from Magid explains, you know, why do we laugh when we see people slip and fall? They don't get hurt, you know, but they slip and it looks, you know, people have an instinct to laugh. It's funny, it is kind of funny. Person's up and boom, he fell down. You know, he fell on his bum and everybody gives up a little laugh. I mean, that's the natural instinct. So we become more mature, we don't laugh. But there's an instinct, it's funny. You know, it's funny. You know, you want to pull the chair away when you were kids, remember? And it looks really funny when the person's trying to, you shouldn't do it. And nothing happens. If the person's really hurt, nobody laughs. But if you fall, you know, it's an embarrassing fall. And everybody laughs. So it's like, why did Hashem put it in our nature to laugh that way? So he says like this. He says, really there's a gzera on the person that something much worse should happen. Right? So Hashem is collecting on it via the embarrassment that the person suffers. Embarrassment is something that's very painful. Painful here, but not painful really. So Hashem will give you up as an embarrassment. Now other people's neshamas, not your brain, your neshamas know what's going on. And just like when Hashem told Sarah she's going to have Yitzchak, she laughed. Right? Because I can't believe it. It's such good news. I can't believe it. So the neshamas are causing us to laugh because we're happy for the person that is being saved from something worse. Chafetz Chaim says, the best yisurim is shame is the best because it really is nothing. Right? So you fell down. An embarrassing thing. You know, something embarrassing happened to you. Somebody says, hey, you know, you got a spot on your tie. You know, you have a kick me thing behind you that's been, you know, paste it on, you know. People, you get embarrassed. Whatever. I'm just saying, whatever. I'm not saying the other person should embarrass the other person. Forget about that. Forget about how it came. The person is embarrassed. That's all we're saying. You should know Hashem is being so merciful on you because really you should have got it much worse. You should have broke your arm and be in a cast for 6 months. So Hashem gave you that good dose of embarrassment. Everybody laughed at you. Not that we're supposed to laugh, but sometimes you can't even help. And even nobody laughs, you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed, even people are mature, we're all mature, but you're embarrassed. Not gonna be so clumsy to fall like that. So you have so many opportunities through the day that it's not painful. That you could say, thank you for this Yisurim, and where there's no conflict, you're still calm. And you could say, thank you so much for this Yisurim.